Namaste. So this is a question from one of our friends in Russia following the talk which took place on the 13th. The question is, what should be practiced nowadays in actual conditions of the world? What practical advice for sadhana can you give? So first of all, in actual conditions of the world, let us be very clear, when we look at the world in its long history, there has hardly ever been a period when we can say world was peaceful. Always the world has been, as Shubindo says, the very nature of the world, sansara, is a field of unrest. It's not that Ramaraj is established. Any time you go far back times, even the best of times, even during the time of King Satyavrat, Satyug story, you know, that we hear, the first story. You know what happens with Satyavrat? Satyavrat is the king of the land. And he observes this fish which is speaking. And he has that vision, or the inner eye opens. And when he tells his own people, the people in his kingdom, that I want to make a big place for the king, for the fish, because it is growing, people literally start beating him up. Yeah, you read the original stories like that. They say, oh, you are gone mad. How can a fish grow? You see, if you look at it, it's very... Even in Satyug, there will be masses of humanity which are just at the same level. Never there has been, because human consciousness has always been like this. Even in the Vedic age, there are people who have gone, exceptionally they have gone beyond. That is something very beautiful. But the masses of mankind were the same. And that's why all these had to be brought down, because they were all incomplete and imperfect. So that now is an age when everybody is being taken together. In Ilion, Shurvindo explains that why the great Trojan War took place. The Trojan War took place because there were these people who had developed very much, like, you know, King Priam, and extremely developed civilization. But the rest were all tribes. And these tribes united and came together and brought down the great empire of Troy. Sounds very strange. But this was because nature does not allow one line or one part to advance and others to be neglected and ignored. It happens even in the individual yoga. That's why the attention to the body. What happens in Kali Yuga? The consciousness is all that is fine. You have very beautiful experiences and you sit and meditate. But what about the body? So it pulls back and throws our attention to the body. So we must understand first and foremost that the actual conditions of the world have never been ideal. Even in a very sattvic society, even a king like Yudhishthir, modern person cannot imagine that there can be a king who can put his own brothers and wife at stake. These are facts. And this is a great society. I mean, man like Yudhishthir, yet these things happen. So actual conditions of the world have always been, to a greater or lesser degree, troubled. The beauty is, the greater the disturbance, the greater the evolutionary possibility. That is the first thing we have to understand. Normally, sansar is ever changing, ever in flux, jagatyam. So because of the change, there is always disturbance. Because we want the stability. All of us want stability in life. But nothing is stable. Even the ground over which we are standing is not stable. So it brings a lot of sense of disturbance. So we believe we are in a stable ground, but it's a mistake. And the moment it changes, we have to shift, relocate ourselves. So the solution, according to yoga, is find the stable ground which does exist. And that stable ground is not on the surface, but inside. This is what we read in the message today. That stable ground, then you play with the world. But first find the anchor inside. Because we don't have the anchor inside, we are looking for an anchor outside. In a human being, in a position, in a chair, in a power, in wealth. All these are outer anchors. We feel very proud when we have on a, you know, cell phone, all the great people whom we can dial at the tip of our fingers. But the real pride, if at all legitimate pride, is when we just say one, only one number, Ma, and we are so sure that the world mother will be with us. Can we imagine any state higher than that? Nobody and nothing to be afraid of. So this is the inner shift. So what happens when we see the world in a state of unrest? Mother says this very beautifully to Huta. My child, if there is a storm going on, open the door, come inside and close the door. And then she goes on to say, the key has been given to you to open the door. But we have not ever opened it. We don't even know where to open it. So suddenly storm comes, we have never tried anything, so we are carried by the storm. But every day if we practice to open the door, like in Gita, Arjuna is told by Shri Krishna that take my name and fight the battle. Then one day, even if you were to meet death, it doesn't matter because you would be remembering me. At all times, you will be one with me. So the entire shift of yoga is from the surface to within. Mother uses this, says this very beautifully in one of her passages, now in volume 29 to 31, volume 3. Step back. Every time we are caught in a whirlpool of forces, step back and see what is its worth and value. Only that which is eternal is worth having. All other things are fine if they are there, very good. Don't throw them away like the ascetic. Use them rightly, divinely if possible. But know that that's the truth doesn't lie there, but truth lies within. So this is the first part. So what is the practice? The practice is to shift within. This is the world and there is God. Shift within. Now, that's where then the departure takes place. In traditional yoga, when you shift within, you discover it's something so beautiful and you discard the world. In Sri Aurobindo's yoga, you hold that poise and from that poise deal with the world. So that is the difference. When Arjuna is wanting to escape the conflict, he is taking the path of traditional yoga. I want to run away from this conflict. But Sri Krishna teaches him, be in the fight, be in the battle, but hold on to me. That is the difference that we have to learn. So remember God and go through the world. Remember Mother. Call her name as often as we can. Very often when the danger seems great, when everything seems to collapse, that is the time we are in a most receptive state to call to the light. So in a way, looked at from one point of view, it's a blessing. It's a yoga being enforced upon us. Because when everything is wonderful, then we are having bhoga. And when bhoga is snatched away from us, then we have yoga. So when we bhoga, roga, yoga. So this is the bhoga is just pleasure. Not in the highest sense, bhoga is divine enjoyment. Bhagavan comes from that. The one who enjoys. So, but even in ordinary life when we remember, and this has been the saying of all the mystic and saints, that if you remember God when you are in a happy state, then when darkness comes, difficulty comes, then you will not be troubled. And in this context, I want to read a small sentence from Mother. There are people, there was somebody whom I know myself who narrated this story. He was going through a tremendous crisis in life. And at every level, outer, inner, psychological. And he wrote to Mother, I am going through this dark state. Pray send me one word which can sustain me with hope through this journey. Pray send me just one word. And at the behest of the mother, Nalinida sent him this, one of the messages of the mother, saying that here is a word of hope. And what is that message? At the very moment when everything seems to go from bad to worse, it is then that we must make a supreme act of faith and know that the grace will never fail us. I think today itself I was, you know, hearing somebody's story that actually the person saw that in a dream vision that the person's child is gone, died literally. It was a symbolic dream. And then the child had a serious illness. And then he was on the verge of death with no hospital taking in, nothing, no chance, no choice. Then the person took to simply reading Savitri and calling mother's name. And total comeback, complete recovery. This is not a story of miracle. This is a real story. It is a miracle, of course. But look at the process of the miracle. Imagine at that point, the person made a choice of what was the point of my turning to mother, or, you know, see, ultimately my child is going to die. I have also seen in my dream the child is going to die, and got into a state of hopelessness and helplessness. Sure enough, the forces would have taken over, the hostiles, and would have done their job. But she took a different stand, and the stand was ma, and reading Savitri. Complete trust and abandon. And without medicines, the child began to recover and recover completely. So when everything seems to go from bad to worse, she's telling us that never lose hope in the divine grace, right up to the last point. And then she says that you must act according to your inner conviction, regardless of all consequences, and keep your faith unshaken. Then through this, like in this case, the child survived. May not. Still in that case also, keep the conviction and the faith, because ultimately you will go through this, and when you come out, you will realize when you look back that this was the passage through which the Divine Beloved was drawing me closer to Him. This also I know. I know instances of people where things didn't go according to what normally we will call a miracle. Mother herself has said that when the soul takes a decision to go and it is good for that, then she will not interfere or intervene. At the same time, when people go through that passage, remembering God. So there is a difference between going through a dark passage without remembering. In fact, going through a complaining, there are people who have completely broken down, who are shattered all their life. And there are others who go through that passage but remembering the divine, and there is a world of difference when they come out of that passage. And finally, she says, somebody asked her this question: in the present growing conflict, what should be our attitude? Looks like today. In the present growing conflict, what should be our attitude? One line reply: faith and total confidence in the divine's grace. And then she gives the logic behind it. Through this apparent chaos, a new and better order is being formed. But to see it, one must have faith in the divine grace. And after that, very sweetly she says, cheer up. So cheer up, because anyways this world, whether it remains or goes, frankly doesn't make much of a difference. It is only a new world in which lies the hope of humanity. If you really look at it very objectively, what is there that we really find it so attractive? This is a very nice line of one of the Hindi songs. I'll translate in English, which says, Ye dunya agar mil bhi jaye to kya hai? In Savitri, Shobindo writes very beautifully, all is too little that the world can give. Its power, its knowledge and power are the gifts of time, and cannot fill the spirit's sacred thirst. So let us just keep that thirst alive. Frankly speaking, there is nothing which is really of lasting value in this ever-changing world on the surface. Whatever is of lasting value is always within, either as a dream or as a momentary experience or as an ideal or deep inside as a hope and aspiration. Let us keep focusing on that, so that one day the world may change as a result of that. And for that, let us keep our trust and confidence, complete confidence in the divine grace. In terms of practice, only one single practice, which Shobindo has advised: whenever you go through danger, difficulty or anything, just call the mother and remember her name. Just calling her ma, that is the practice. And surround yourself with beautiful thoughts. Read Mother and Shobindo, so that the mind doesn't go in all these directions, television, news. Stay away from the company of those who make you fall, feel low. You know what's happening in the world. These are people who don't even see beyond their little personal self-interest. Don't listen to such people. Stay with the practice of calling the mother's name. Read Mother and Aurobindo so that we are surrounded by this atmosphere. Form a group of people who can collectively invoke the divine presence. Faith and total confidence in the divine's grace. Namaste.